Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter, page 838, towards the back of your Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. We may be familiar with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. Those are all the blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who mourn. Well, there's another version of that in Luke. In Luke, it's not the Sermon on the Mount, it's not up on a hill, it's called the Sermon on the Plain. So maybe Luke remembered it or heard that it had happened down in a low place. And Luke's is different in that he doesn't just offer blessings, but he offers woes to people as well. Woes, not quite curses, but woes. So listen for that. This is the assigned reading for All Saints Sunday. It's so interesting to me. So here is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, beginning at verse 20. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Well, since the earliest days of the church, the faithful have gathered to give thanks for the life and ministry of the saints, women and men whose witness to the gospel of Jesus has been a blessing in every generation. The witness of many of these men and women, such as St. Francis of Assisi or St. Teresa of Calcutta or St. Augustine of Hippo, are well known. Many of their writings have become popular. Their deeds inspire us to name hospitals and schools and churches after them. And their service to the church is taught in every generation. And yet there are others, such as St. Simon or St. Jude, who we know very little about except for their names. But regardless of how much or how little we know about these faithful witnesses, one thing is certain: their life and their ministry has richly blessed the church. And as we gather to celebrate the Feast of All Saints today, we give thanks to God for the blessings that the saints have bestowed upon the church, as well as the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Of course, by worldly standards, it would appear that the saints were not very blessed. Most of them didn't know the first thing about wealth, and many lived all or parts of their lives in poverty by choice. Status and the power that comes with it was a foreign concept, as many of the saints never knew high-paying or revered jobs, choosing instead to work for very little or no money, serving the poor and the helpless. And many of the saints were hated and met their untimely death precisely because of the faith that they so boldly professed. But worldly standards were not how the saints patterned their lives. They lived by Jesus' standards. And as we hear in our reading today, Jesus' standard for what constituted a blessing is radically different from the standards that the rest of the world is accustomed to. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you when people hate you, revile you, exclude you, defame you. Rejoice on that day. Poverty, hunger, sadness, hatred, exclusion, revilement. These things certainly don't seem like blessings, but Jesus is convinced that they are. And most shocking of all, Jesus says that these are the sorts of people to whom the kingdom of God is entrusted. Of course, some will raise their hands in objection and say, we can't possibly entrust the kingdom of God to a bunch of poor folk. They don't know the first thing about business or what it takes to run a kingdom. Others may say, oh, the kingdom of God, that's just a fancy theological term tossed around. It's not possible here on earth. There's just too much violence and oppression and chaos. And worst of all, some will hear these words of Jesus and say, you know, Jesus will take care of the poor and the hungry and the sad and the hated. I don't have to get involved myself. And to this, with piercing clarity, Jesus looks the opponents of the kingdom right in the eye and produces a very stern warning. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now. Woe to you who are laughing now. And woe to you when people speak well of you. In other words, woe to you who don't know what poverty looks like. Woe to you who don't know what hunger feels like. Woe to you who have never known an occasion for grief. And woe to you who manage to tell everyone what they want to hear instead of the truth they so desperately need to hear. And so we gather here on this Feast of All Saints with words of blessing and words of woe ringing in our ears amidst the beauty of our sanctuary and festive worship and memorial celebrations. But we can't lose sight of the fact that today God is also calling us to action. God is calling us to bear witness to the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not just some abstract theological term about a time and a place far away. In fact, the kingdom of God is a place that we can all come to know. The kingdom of God breaks through when we love our enemies. It takes hold when we do good to those who hate us. It comes alive when we bless those who curse us. It shines brightly when we pray for those who mistreat us. It shows up when we honor the requests of beggars. It's when we live our lives by the principle of do to others as you would have them do to you that we become citizens of the kingdom of God. Of course, life in the kingdom is not easy. But then again, as Jesus reminds us here, life with God is not easy either. Life with God means that we will know what it is to be poor, hungry, sad, and cursed. Life with God means that we will know what it is to be unpopular, to be overlooked and discounted because of our faith. And life with God means we will know what it is to be hated even. But the good news is that the kingdom of God is built brick by brick by people such as these, people who know what poverty and hunger and sorrow and being cursed looks like, by people who know how it feels to be overlooked, by people who know what being hated feels like. These are the people who will build the kingdom. Because remember, technically, today is All Saints Sunday, not just some saints Sunday. What we celebrate when we celebrate all saints is not the superhuman faith and power of a select few, but rather God's ability to use flawed people to do divine things. I'll say that again. All Saints celebrates that God is able to use flawed people to do divine things. We celebrate the fact that God creates faith in his people, and those people, through ordinary acts of love, bring the kingdom of God closer to earth, which is where we come in. We might not think we are saints, but if a saint is, and I believe this is what a saint is, someone who has put their hope in Christ, that's a saint. Someone who puts their hope in Christ, a flawed someone even, then we too are included in the feast. A feast in which we celebrate that we have, in all who have gone before us, what St. Paul calls such a great cloud of witnesses, and that the faithful departed are as much a body of the body of Christ as we are. It's quite amazing, really, that we are connected to so many, connected to so much faith, connected to so many stories, to so much divine love, especially in this day and age of alienation and separation and trying to find community and belonging in smaller and smaller ways. I mean, we may think that the basis of being connected to other people is in having theology or political beliefs or denominational affiliation or neighborhood or musical tastes or Facebook groups in common. But no, none of that is what connects us to the body of Christ. What connects us to the body of Christ is not our piety, the way we worship, or our good works, or our beliefs. What connects us to the body is Christ himself. And more specifically, it's gathering around this table where we remember all the ways that the standards of the world have been overturned by God's saving ways and his kingdom has prevailed. Also, at this table, we remember all the deeply faithful and deeply flawed saints of God's church through whom the glory of God has been revealed and is being revealed still. And so we give thanks for this table that we will gather around, a foretaste of a heavenly banquet around which the saints are already gathered. And you know who they are. We give thanks that around this table we are tied to the whole communion of saints, united with all who have ever received the bread and the cup and been told this is Jesus and for whom it has been Jesus. We give thanks that we are joined here with angels and archangels and cherubim and seraphim, whoever they are, and that we are joined with the church on earth and the church in heaven and anyone who has ever called on the name of God. We are also giving thanks that saintly acts really are just simple acts of love. And that at this table, we are empowered to live by a different standard, characterized by loving our enemies, showing kindness to people who don't deserve it, growing into the ability to bless those who curse us, to pray for those who mistreat us, and manifesting itself in the ability to listen and show honor to those who are forced to beg. And when we do that, when we exchange our worldly standards for kingdom standards, the blessed communion of saints sings, Alleluia, Alleluia. Amen. I invite you to turn to the blue insert, to the Apostles' Creed. As we say these words today, bring to your mind, dear Christians who have died, who you know, who you love, or dear Christian friends who are not in this room, they might live across the country, across the state, across the world. Think of those people, have them in mind, and know that we are linked and connected to them by these very words. And in that way, these words are alive for us. So I invite you to rise and join me as you are able. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.